Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I'm not sure if you are witnessing the same thing I am. We're seeing a lot of different trial runs. And it's interesting how there are certain areas in America that are actually having their businesses and their property being protected with deadly force. People showing up with guns to say, you're not going to mob and you're not going to molest our town, our city, our neighborhood. And I find it interesting how, you know, I truly see, because if you didn't know, some of these places that are, you know, where these riots are occurring, or I should say these unconstitutional protests. Now, I want to be very clear. There is nowhere in the Constitution that you have a right to go and to do damage to any building, for you to get out onto the street and deny people, you know, their ability to conduct commerce. And if you want to call it, during the civil rights time, it was civil disobedience. And it was disobedience to laws. When people would go and do a sit-in, that would be civil disobedience. In other words, they weren't being violent. They weren't being, you know, dramatic, like the drama queens we're seeing. But the fact is, civil disobedience is actually illegal. You don't have a right to shut people down. The problem is that with the civil rights efforts, with what the civil rights groups were doing, it made, I think it made America sick, because it brought the awareness, as people were being convicted or charged and fined or what have you for violating these laws, then people were waking up and going, you know, this is terrible. These people are unconstitutionally being treated, and not regarding the protest, but, you know, the Jim Crow laws and the what is a good word for it? The it's at the tip of my tongue. It's, you know, it's that violation where you're treating somebody differently, and it forgive me. You know, it's one of those days when you're thinking of so many different things, and I've got a lot of things I want to go through and I want to tell you, but let me, instead of lingering on what I can't think of a word, because it will come to me, let me just get back to, you know, some of these places, like in Idaho and other places, where people are actually showing up with guns. And other towns and other cities are absolutely being destroyed. Minnesota and all around the nation, we're seeing all of this damage. But who cares, right? Well, this is all a part of the different trials and the different testing. These are all, if you want to call them military, if you want to call them political actions or exercises, that's exactly what these things are. These are test runs for the Bolshevik Revolution. So what they need to do is they need to start cracking down in some of these places where people are showing up with guns. And so the liberals are focusing, and if you haven't seen it, in Idaho and some of these other places, the rhinos are just out of control. Now, they say, so Idaho just had their primaries yesterday. And so with some of these other primaries that are occurring in some of these other dark red states, Montana, I think South Dakota and so forth, we're finding that, you know, some of the rhinos are not necessarily faring well, or some of the challengers. I don't know until all of the, you know, the ballots are counted and the final outcome comes, but I will say this. Primary races are where races are decided. This is why we really have to get involved. And the primary state where we really need to get involved, I'm begging for you to actually contribute. Don't send money to me. Don't send money to anybody other than these constitutional candidates. I'm going to give you a list of those people who I endorse or those people who are willing to sign petitions and what have you. We need these people to get into the Wyoming legislatures to actually start shutting these people down. We need to start actually focusing on sheriff elections as well, making sure the sheriffs are committed, as well as your county commissioner. Everybody that's running for office. I mean, I've got that meme out there, and you can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org right there on the Red State Talk Radio podcast page. Actually, it's on the Take Action page. It's an orange meme that says, make them take a stand, make them take a position, make them state their position so that you can hold that against them. If people think it's okay to be shut down and to destroy the local economy and to basically take your life savings and, you know, destroy your future plans by being able to say, oh, well, we were attacked by China and we're just going to quarantine everybody. That's against the law. It's against the Constitution. If you haven't read the articles, my articles actually state that. I mean, it's very, very clear as to, you know, what you can do and what you can't do. But before I go too far, let me tell you that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic-based evidence for solutions and what the truths really are. Can you do this? Can't you do this? You're going to find that the progressives over time have redefined what a protest is and what your right is for petition. It saddens me to see these types of things happening. There are progressives that are literally playing their hand. And this is why it is so important, why I go over these fundamentals regarding how these people are even wired. Remember, I talked about how the progressives, I even read the Billy Graham challenge. You need to understand, these people do not care whether you have freedom or not. They want you to be subjected. They want you to be enslaved and forced to do what they need you to do. And you know what? If you're not willing to do it, eventually when they're tired of dealing with your antics, they'll just put you to death. They'll kill you. When they no longer have any fear of any retribution, of any bad outcomes, they keep on getting worse and worse and worse. Yeah, I mean, a good example of this is the homosexual movement. The homosexual movement, there were laws in every state, all 50 states, there were laws at the end of the 50s, early 60s. Every state had sodomy laws and anti-homosexual laws. And over time, we became tolerant. Those laws are probably still on the books, other than the fact that there have been a few states that have actually created, I believe, Hawaii and Washington were the only two states where the voters actually allowed homosexual marriage. But the fact of the matter is, this is how things have been shifting. And so, okay, we became tolerant. America became tolerant. You started tolerating this depravity. You started tolerating the perversions of human sexuality. And then what ended up happening? Well, all of a sudden, they started challenging the concept of the family by suing for their ability to have children. In other words, go and get into adoption lines, go and get into in vitro fertilization, and all of these other benefits. Now, keep in mind, bear in mind that if you choose to be homosexual, you have made a conscious decision that makes you unable to procreate. But they want us to placate them so that we can remove the consequences of their decisions. This is just another way of how society is bending over to remove the consequences of what any good Christian would call sin, whether it be the outcome of, you know, a quickie, i.e. abortion, because, oh, we had a quickie and we ended up getting pregnant. Or actually somebody got pregnant and somebody said, well, I don't want the consequences of that bad behavior, so I'm just going to go and get a free abortion and you, the taxpayers, will pay for it. You, the taxpayers, are paying for all this social engineering. If you don't understand, as we've moved down this, they've become more and more emboldened and far less tolerant towards any altering view. I mean, we ended up tolerating their view, but now we cannot, we can no longer have a view of, let's just call it, we can no longer have a view that opposes their view. And so we can't have honest dialogue. We can't have an honest conversation with those who are purporting, you know, these acts of sin as absolutely okay. So anyway, so when we come back, we're going to kind of do a real quick recap on some of the stuff that we've done, what we still need to cover and what we're going to cover, and some, I'm hoping, some interviews. I'll tickle you with a few interviews, but when we come back after these two promos. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
And even though we aren't able to actually take callers at this point in time, we will. It's really hard for me to have a live show and still be very politically active in working, teaching, and traveling and so forth. So I hope that you can, you know, adjust a little bit to, I'll just say, my schedule and my, maybe I should say my needs. But the point is that if you want to ask me questions, and, you know, it seems like you've got some really good questions and you're willing to actually come on the air, just like Eric Levy did these past few times, then by all means, let's send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we'll take it from there, because we are interested in answering your questions and giving you more, a greater fidelity and a better understanding and more clarity, however I can say it, three ways of saying the same thing. And in understanding Republic Review, what the real problem is, what we need to do, and so forth. And so one of the questions that I kind of like asking is, are you a part of the problem? And how is it that you can no longer be a part of the problem? Well, it comes down to this. You either get engaged in the solution or you are a part of the problem, because not doing something is tantamount to, you know, doing nothing is tantamount to allowing the problem to persist. In other words, you are supporting the problem, whether it is a direct support or an indirect support. You are supporting the problem. You have to be engaged. And I know a lot of people use social media to fight the problem and send information and so forth, and that's helpful, but there comes a time when it really requires a Dutch boy type of mentality and sticking out your finger and putting your finger in the hole. You know, we've got to stop all of this seepage that is coming out. It's almost like we have a screen that is holding the water back, and the water is coming out of there at a pretty good clip. It's just a matter of a few more parts of this wall to come down, and that's it. We've lost it all. If you don't recognize this, then maybe you need to watch the news and see what the heck's going on. Anyway, there's a reason why we've kind of covered all of these things over the past couple of months. The scale of liberty, American republicanism, the importance and the role natural law has, as well as common law. And I also want to point out that we have an enumerated constitution, just like we have a specified and enumerated powers of attorney. We've covered Madison's essay on property. We've gone through the Tory Acts. We've covered the cod fisheries. Oh, actually, you know what? We've covered the cod fisheries. Yeah, we have. We've covered the Federalist Papers. So the next thing up that we're going to be covering, and we'll probably start those in our next episode or two, we've got a couple of interviews. And like I said, every time I get a chance to have an interview with a state legislator, they bump the priority. They go straight to the front of the line because we want to hear them talk about their position and how important it is for them to, how important it is for them to actually understand what they need to do and execute what needs to be done. We want to also put priority on sheriffs and other county officials. So we're going to actually start reaching into some of these counties, and we're going to be talking to some of them, hopefully, in the next couple of months regarding common law grand juries, which means that we actually have people that are going to be taking a stand. That is one thing that you can actually get engaged in. Now, I've been doing the research, and I think I'm on my last couple of days going through the Congressional Globe. If I had to count, I'm probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 250 pages that I've extracted out of the Congressional Globe that all deal with the 14th Amendment and the debates over the Reconstruction Amendment. And so I've even added a few other things, a few other little nuggets, like the Freedmen Bureau. You know, here the federal government created this Freedmen Bureau to kind of support this concept that, you know, we have now freed the slaves. Now, with the fact that they created an amendment to ending slavery, does that give them the power? Well, when you read the amendment, I believe at the very end of it, Congress shall have the power to enforce this, you know, this law. And so, absolutely, the federal government does have the role and responsibility and power in the 13th Amendment to, you know, to ensure that slavery is no longer being, you know, done. Well, I think that was the impetus, or I think that was the catalyst for America becoming the champions of liberty, because it was in the 1800s where America started teaming up with Britain and other, let's call them allies, and going throughout the world and shutting down the slave trade and the practice of slavery. How noble is that? And unfortunately, right in our, you know, right here in our back rooms, in our backwoods, and, you know, in front of us in some cases, how terrible is it that we were going around stopping slavery, but we weren't stopping the discrimination? That was the word I was thinking of, or thinking, trying to think of in the first segment. But when we've got laws, and when we have given politics and those who are the keepers of the power, the fountain of power, are, you know, our sovereigns, and they're passing laws that actually discriminate people, I think America finally hit that breaking point in the late 50s, early 60s, and the tide had turned. It's kind of like abortion is losing its luster, and more people are looking at it as, you know, a law that protects the depraved. And so maybe the, you know, the pendulum will turn on that as well. But I'm here to say that when the Land of Liberty, you know, went out and, you know, fought slavery and tried to do everything it could to end the practice of slavery, but still promoted and allowed and actually permeated, the Supreme Court supported Plessy v. Ferguson and the separate but equal and these concepts of the Jim Crow laws. That is the danger of a bench that is using its position to actually inject laws and their own agenda. So anyway, what we do want to do is we kind of want to just bridge this segment today before we get into any other interviews or anything else. We want to kind of cover the stuff that we didn't cover last Friday that I had kind of put in a queue. So let me fire through some of this stuff. Now, I'm not sure if you'd heard, but Volkswagen, basically a customer has a lawsuit against them and the green agenda. And so if you don't understand how people feel like they're now entitled to, you know, supporting false, you know, what do you want to call it, false facts or false laws, like some of these environmental laws. It's one thing for states to create these laws, but to go after an, or, you know, a corporation, you really need the federal government to go after something like that. But the federal government doesn't have any enumerated power over this. They can't even create the Environmental Protection Agency in accordance with the Constitution. But they have these things, and these things have become their weapons. It's the same. It's the same argument. I mean, if you look at education, healthcare, the environmental stuff, you can look at housing, you can look at agriculture, you can look at all of the, you know, even 3G communications. There are so many different things, even transportation. There are way too many things that the federal government has no business meddling with, and they're swimming in the deep end in these issues. And they are the sharks in the deep end in these issues. So I want you to understand that if we don't change our paradigm and understand who the enemy isn't just, you know, these people trying to take away our Second Amendment rights. The enemy isn't these people who want to force us into vaccination. The enemy is the federal government violating the Constitution in so many different ways. That's the one thing that all of these single enemies have in common. They're all spawning from unconstitutional government. And it's paramount that you understand this. If you can wrap your arms around this concept that the federal government has no business doing anything outside of its enumerated powers, and those enumerated powers do apply to those amendments. I've said that before. They also apply to constitutionally ratified treaties. Now, you got to understand, a constitutionally ratified treaty isn't just something that has been voted by two-thirds of the Senate. A constitutionally ratified treaty is a treaty that is based upon the enumerated powers. If the federal government comes along and says, we're going to create a treaty over marriage, well, it's not an enumerated power. They have no business making treaties regarding things they have no power to do. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so last Friday, we were going through some G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news. And what I did, and we ended up hitting it at the very end of the hour. And so what I did was I kind of consolidated all of these different topics or these high-level encapsulations of, you know, these things going on regarding COVID-19. And so I think we left off with the fact that the Oregon governor and California and many other states seems to be going down this totalitarian approach in locking down the state until, I think, Oregon, July 6th, I think California into August without any. I mean, these are just arbitrary assertions that are canceling and actually suspending and violating your constitutional rights. So what are you going to do about it? Do you care? Anyway, one of these things, and I know you heard about this, maybe the First Pentecostal Church in Holly Springs, Mississippi was burnt down a couple of weeks ago, and it was suspected that it was an arson fire. It wasn't just an accident. And the church pastor, Jerry Waldrop, filed a lawsuit against the city of Holly Springs, alleging the police officer had disrupted the Easter service, and some believe that the fire was set by people who support the lockdown. Well, duh, but I want you to understand. Remember I talked about the hard wiring, how people don't care. They do not care about the damage necessary. The end justifies the means. They will destroy your property. They will even kill you. They do not care as long as they obtain the control that they are seeking. And they want to control every aspect of your life. Peggy Hall and many others have revealed that the CDC guidelines used by states, health boards, businesses, and schools recommend wearing masks but do not require it. U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams recommended making a mask out of an old scarf, which contradicts his earlier statement that masks do not work. The CDC listed 7 studies, but none of them mention wearing a mask. You know, I may be the first one to say this because, you know, I don't listen to the news and I don't listen to any other entertainers. But remember, it seemed like we as a free people did not like the idea that people among us were wearing burkas. And it seems like you go out in public today and everybody's wearing a burka, if you know what I mean. Just something to ponder. The governors of New York, New Jersey, Michigan, and California directed their states to place recovering COVID-19 patients in nursing homes among with vulnerable elderly population, causing an increase in infections and deaths. More than 4,300 recovering coronavirus patients were sent to New York's nursing homes under a directive. You hear that number? 4,300 recovering corona patients were sent throughout the state of New York into these nursing homes under a directive that was ultimately scrapped amid charges it was accelerating deadly outbreaks. New York and several of the states have given legal immunity to nursing facilities so they can't be sued for contagion of this kind. Authorities in the UK are facing similar criticisms. The official defense, why is it that they would want to kill off the elderly like this? Do you think this is a deliberate attempt in eliminating as many elderly? We already know that the virus, you know, the people that are most susceptible to this are those who are older. So do you think this was by design? Now, we already know most viruses, I mean, older people, people with health problems, yeah, they're going to be more susceptible. But I want you to think about this. If you want to move a progressive agenda forward and you realize that those people who are, you know, holding, you know, the last bastion of hope of holding these things back at bay are the older people, then wouldn't you want to get rid of them? Every communist movement, every successful communist movement in the process and by the end of the takeover, the people they kill are those who pose the greatest threat. And there's no doubt in my mind that is the elderly. Now, the final comment, the official defense of this unwise policy is that it is unnecessary to free up beds in hospital for more serious cases. But the evidence suggests that the shortage of beds and medical personnel has never happened. And that is absolutely true. If you've looked at the occupancy of the hospitals, why is it that more hospitals, go look at the staffing, go look at the operational costs of every single hospital that is, you know, has set itself aside for supporting COVID patients. I'm telling you that these hospitals were laying off or furloughing their nurses and furloughing staff because they were operating at a below normal operational state. In other words, they weren't, and most of these and a lot of them weren't functioning. And as a matter of fact, there's another little tidbit in here. Now, I'm going to really try to get this name right. epidemiologist is a person who studies or is an expert in the branch of medicine which deals with the incidence, distribution, and possible control of diseases. Got it? Washington State epidemiologists have admitted that multiple victims of gunshot wounds who had also been diagnosed with coronavirus have been counted as COVID-19 deaths. The state currently is counting anyone who dies with the virus as having died from the virus. Nevertheless, the epidemiologist on the payroll of the state's Department of Health continues to claim that virus deaths are being undercounted. And I'm telling you, they're escalating. As a matter of fact, go look at the Bing status of COVID-19. I'll bet you anything, because every time I look at it, Washington State and other states have zero reported recoveries. What the heck? Really? Over the past how many months? 4 or 5 months now? No recoveries? Everybody's just dying or sick? This is all conflated. Multiple states have listed people who died with coronavirus as having died from the virus, even when it was known that they died from other diseases. COVID-19 was listed as the cause of death in some people who had not even been tested for the virus, but were, quote, presumed, close quote, to have the virus. Pennsylvania revised its number multiple times after coroners complained that the real COVID-19 death rate was lower than what the state reported. Colorado admitted overcounting coronavirus deaths and finally had to lower their totals by 31%. 31%, folks. So let's say it's 100,000. That's 70,000 in actuality. New Jersey has now lowered its death in nursing homes by 21%. Most of the field hospitals, now this is the nugget I was telling you about earlier, just in line with, if you go look at the operational costs of how hospitals have been hurt because they have been dubbed coronavirus handling facilities. Most of the field hospitals, now these are the hospitals that didn't exist, they go out and create and they build these things. And they put them out in, you know, parking lots of football stadiums or what have you. Most of the field hospitals to treat coronavirus patients that were built across the United States and which cost taxpayers, almost $1 billion, never treated one patient. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer enacted a policy of sending recovering COVID-19 patients to nursing facilities instead of field hospitals. So in that long list of other states, G. Edward Griffin has found that even Michigan is playing into these shenanigans. Michigan paid those facilities $5,000 for each COVID-19 patient treated. Why? Oh, because it's about maybe the money? In some respects, yeah, it may be about the money. And in other respects, it may be about the end. Remember, the end justifies the means. Across the United States, as you've seen and as you've heard, county jails have released almost one-third of the inmates, unleashing tens of thousands of criminals. In other words, no parole, nothing. They just release these folks, tens of thousands of bad actors using the coronavirus as an excuse. However, in contrast to this, anybody that has been trying to operate their business, just trying to stay alive, they've been arrested and now gone to jail. What? And I'll bet you they will follow up and prosecute these people, but they won't follow up with these criminals. That's how backwards we've become. Folks, we're not that stupid, are we? I hope not. Anyway, while criminals are given a pass, people who don't want to return to work are being arrested and put into prison as well. You hear that? People who don't want to return to work. Anyway, or actually, no, I misquoted. people who do want to return to work. Like I said, and as I put the spin on it, Heather McDonald says that the people behind this motive by hatred towards the American prosperity and capitalism, they're basically communists. So we will be right back after these two promos, and we'll do kind of a wrap on G. Edward Griffin's little tidbits on the COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Heather McDonald has made some comments, and one of them was that the people behind all of these types of policies and actions have been motivated by hatred toward American prosperity and capitalism. Now, I think that she also says the longer the people are under lockdown, the more dependent they become on the government for survival, which is basically about communism, socialism, fascism, totalitarianism, collectivism, and all of that. Anyway, what I wanted you to know, here's a little irony. Heather McDonald's apparently she is described as a secular conservative. However, her genre, or the milieu where she makes comments and so forth, is Christian and gospel types of news, and or, you know, the right wing kind of conservative, you know, news medias and outlets and so forth. And so I just find it interesting that a secular conservative is becoming prominent on, you know, these Christian gospel news media outlets. Isn't it interesting? It's maybe irony. What I wanted to do in understanding how last week we talked about the 14th Amendment and the specifics of it, and especially the importance of understanding the cause or the purpose of the 14th Amendment. And I want you to understand that what's been going on with these riots regarding George Floyd, because these are a bunch of opportunists that are out there trying to use this issue for them to get free tennis shoes, for them to get paid to protest and to actually do damage with this nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We're not going to catch you. We're not going to prosecute you. You're going to, especially some of these towns that don't have, you know, some of these security measures and what have you. The problem is that there's too little prosecution. This is why I probably need to have a dedicated show that talks about how we need to take a new legal position regarding riot control and these types of things. I believe there is a market until we create civility as a fundamental in America. There is a huge market in metropolitan areas and areas where they are susceptible to a large violent protest like this. We actually need to have mobilized containment so that we can actually go in, seize, arrest, and process everybody. And, oh, by the way, if you're involved in protests in different parts of the country, because they've got these professional activists and protesters, I remember during the Occupy movement, they actually had people that were in D.C., San Francisco, New York, that were arrested, and their rap sheet is just growing. And these people don't care. They don't even worry about getting a job because they're being padded and or covered by these far left activists. I mean, Soros and his foundation, Open Borders Foundation, is spending billions and billions of dollars covering these people, with the promise that government is finally going to be able to provide everything once they get us over the hump. Once they get America to suspend or actually set aside the Constitution and implement a true plan of socialism. And a true plan of socialism is one that is destined to end in communism, where the state has control over every facet of your life. So anyway, this terrible tragedy with George Floyd, I mean, absolute tragedy. Here we have a penal system and we have laws that we don't hold people accountable. And as a matter of fact, we let criminals out on the street because of overcrowding. No, we need to start outsourcing our penal system to other countries. You know, if there's no room here, then at pennies on the dollar, we can send them to the Philippines, to Korea. There's all sorts of other nations that can build dig a hole in the ground and put armed guards around it and basically, you know, kill anybody that tries to leave. I do not care. I mean, if there are people that have done so many heinous things and they are doing everything they can to take away our liberty, you have to understand that these people, they're motivated in obtaining full control. And why not, when they can get away with doing these things with no consequence? We're even funding the fact that they can actually live a zero consequence life. They can go out and have babies, get STDs, and do anything that they want, and it's covered. They can damage their body and they'll get a free liver transplant. Oh, yeah, sure, there's these things that say you can't get them, but come on. David Crosby got one. It's just a matter of whether you either have the money or you are deemed, you know, exceptional for whatever reason. And there's even, without that, there's even these open markets in China. Who knows how many people are shipped to China just to get their free organs at the cost of somebody else? Or maybe the fact that China, you know, says, oh, this is an important investment because this is a contributor to the communist movement. Folks, we've got to wake up. They are working together. They are unified in ways we can't even fathom. And here I look at conservatives, and every conservative out there has this paradigm and, you know, this whole concept that, oh, you know what, my organization's preservation is first and foremost. What? You're standing up and trying to be a conservative, and you're trying to say we're out to protect the Constitution, but when it comes down to actually supporting something that will actually preserve and save our Constitution, get these organizations to get involved, they won't have it because they're making too much money on the persistence of the problem. It's all about self-preservation. You know, we get really upset when we see doctors do this. We get really upset when we see, you know, all these different types of professional entities doing these things, making money. Well, folks, we have to start separating the wheat from the chaff. We have to start calling out those who are willing to unify and those who aren't. When we see what is going on, and so, you know, this George Floyd is just one issue, but how about that, you know, that father and son that basically assaulted and murdered that poor, you know, black man? I think it was in Atlanta or Georgia. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. In America still? You know, I know we can't fix stupid, but are these people really that stupid? I don't think so. I think that we're looking at a point in time where people have become possessed. They've become possessed with their anger, their lack of understanding, their ignorance. They are possessed with their superstitions. Believe me, I've seen way too many people cling on to, you know, these old paradigms and old concepts. And the real problem is that people are clinging on to bad education that has been indoctrinated into us over the past several decades. When I interviewed G. Edward Griffin, this was back a couple of years ago, when I interviewed him, he came right out and said when he went to school, I think he graduated in the 40s or the 50s. I think he was born, I believe he was born in the 30s or late 20s. And so, because he's basically the age my father would be. And I'm here to tell you that when he said that he was trained to be a collectivist in high school and looks back at his education and the curriculum, don't you think they've gotten better at that? That's why I'm telling you what you're seeing today. These are kids that are learning about the benefits of the Bolshevik Revolution. When school starts next year, some of these kids that have had the opportunity to actually, you know, get out and get paid and actually steal and be and brag, there's going to be a lot more kids that are kind of already on that side, but they're not really hardcore activists. As they have the successes and nobody gets held accountable, they're going to continually be able to recruit more of those kids that have this propensity, this leaning towards statism. And unfortunately, they're using this good man. I don't know. I really don't know George Floyd, but and I don't know whether he was a good man, whether he, you know, I don't even know if he was a criminal at all. I don't know. All I know is his name. And I'm here to tell you that they're just opportunists trying to use this terrible act that had occurred, and they're heaping horrendous acts on top of it. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. We'll be back. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.